It's the place where today's trending stories meet common sense and intelligent insight.
Kind of what I feel like is a pretty balanced perspective.
And a few laughs along the way.
I like knowing things.
This is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka Show.
Yes, Angie Austin and Mike Opelka, welcome to you, friend. Mike, some of the big headlines today. We're going to discuss in depth President Trump saying his administration is rocking a real exciting rally that he held. We'll hear from him. And Hawaii's Kilauea volcano may be on the verge of a big explosion. So in the midst of people looting homes that have been evacuated, they're saying that they may have boulders the size of, like, you know, VW bugs that'll be spewing from the earth. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about an insult to John McCain that his wife is actually responding to. And we don't often hear from Cindy McCain, do we?
No, almost never. Cindy McCain is a classy lady, has kind of stayed in the sidelines, on the sidelines during her husband's career. But when this low-level White House staffer allegedly made a comment saying that, "Don't worry about McCain, he's dying," she stepped forward and said, "Could everyone please realize my husband has 7 children and 3 grandchildren and deserves respect?" And I agree with her on that completely. So whether or not this little aside or this crude comment is true or not, we should respect Cindy McCain's wishes. And I hope this goes away. I don't think the person needs to lose their job. And I think you said that you don't believe that either, right?
Yeah, we've got more on that coming up in the hour. We'll discuss that more in depth. And then we wanted to talk a little bit about the FBI spying on the Trump campaign.
Yeah, this came out yesterday, a Wall Street Journal op-ed from Kimberly Strassel, worth a read, and talks about the fact that there might have been outright spying against the Trump campaign during the campaign in 2016 with a mole inside. And we got to watch this one, because this could affect the Mueller investigation, could affect every investigation, and again, cast doubt on whether the FBI is completely independent and not biased, as we still believe there was some bias built in from the Page and Strzok text that we read, and now Page is out and Strzok is off on some weird other assigned duty. But the FBI is going to be under scrutiny, too, now after this. So keep an eye on this story today and how I think it's just starting.
I also want to talk about a wild animal park. The signs everywhere say stay in your car. But a family not only gets out, but you see the mom grab a young child as the fastest animal on land. The cheetah starts, well, several cheetahs start, a coalition of cheetahs, we'll call them, starts racing towards them. Unbelievable to me. And then the movies, you're a movie guy. Trevino's a movie guy. And if you're headed to the movies this weekend, you'll want to hear from David at the snack bar joining us now to give us his lowdown on, first of all, the life of the party. Hey, David.
Hey, Angie and Mike. It's a low weekend. Everyone still expects Avengers to dominate the box office, which it will. So Life of the Party is Melissa McCarthy. Her husband surprises her by getting divorced, and she decides to redo her life and go to college. That's unfortunate, it's the same school her daughter goes to. So much to her daughter's mortification. And so she used to be called Deanna. Now she's D-Rock. All the college people, they like her. They think she's funny and a lot of fun. And so, if you like Melissa McCarthy, it's fine. It's an okay comedy. It's pretty much a throwaway. There's nothing spectacular about it. We've seen things like this many times before. Life of the Party, 3 bags of popcorn.
David, would you say this is old school meets back to school?
Yeah, kind of something like that, exactly.
Okay. I'll go see it. I'll probably check that out. What else is out there?
Well, then you've got Breaking In. Now, this is a story. Gabrielle Union plays a mother whose kids are being held hostage in a house that's got such security it's impenetrable. And, of course, that doesn't stop her. It's her against the bad guys and this house that she can't get into. It's not ludicrous. It doesn't make a lot of sense in many ways. There's a little bit of action, but overall, it's, it just is so, this plot line just doesn't work. So breaking in two bags of popcorn, the movies to see this weekend are still going to be Avengers Infinity War and A Quiet Place. If you haven't seen A Quiet Place, you need to see it in theaters before it leaves the theaters.
All right, David of Snack Bar, we'll talk to you on Monday and see how the movies did at the box office. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Mike, next let's talk about Trump and how he says that that our country is rocking. Let's talk about the alleged insult to John McCain and his wife's response. We'll be hearing a lot about that today. Sure. And President George W. Bush, is he making a comment about the current administration? Is it a veiled comment or just a flat-out comment? And then at a wild animal park, the family that got out near the cheetahs, really, people stay in the car. President Trump does say his administration is rocking, Mike. That's good news.
Yeah, that I think that's excellent news. I'm happy about that. You know, there's some turmoil always within a White House. I can't remember any White House that didn't have a little turmoil. And considering this president was an outsider, I expected some turmoil and more turmoil than any other. And we're getting it. But I think at the core, the president is just plodding ahead with his plans, and I think he's showing progress. You know, we talked about the weakness thing. He also talked last night at that rally in Indiana, and it was a campaign-style rally, as you were. Mm-hmm. You were playing clips for me before. They were trying to rally around any GOP House candidate as well as Senate candidates because the midterms are 6 months away now. But the president talked about his success with getting the Americans home. And he also talked about how we're looked at in the world. And I think that's really important. This was him talking about coming from a position of strength in this country. And, you know, we always heard walk softly and carry a big stick. I think this president believes you walk loudly and carry a big stick. But here's his statement.
America is being respected again.
And as I told you, that crowd cheered then for 30 seconds, and he went on to explain his position, his policy about strength.
But do you remember everybody in the fake news where they were saying, he's going to get us into a nuclear war? Mm-hmm. He's going to get us into a nuclear war. And you know what gets you into nuclear wars? And you know what gets you into other wars? Weakness. Weakness.
They loved him last night. And it was his crowd, obviously.
Yes, yes. Obviously a very receptive crowd, but even people who aren't receptive crowds, and I have some friends in California that, I mean, just post vitriol about him. How can you not, like, applaud what just happened with the three hostages, the detainees coming back to America? How could you not, like, give any credit where credit's due? How? What are you going to say? Well, I think it goes back to President Obama's why they were released, I believe. I mean, you can't, can you?
No, you can't. And you bring up a really good point when you say, how could you not give him credit? 75% of all Americans, not just GOP or conservatives, 75% of all Americans in a recent survey support what this president's doing to sit down with Kim Jong-un. And that happened after we got the news of the release of the three Americans. So Americans overall, even those who never voted for this guy and never would, are saying, well, you know, maybe it is right for us to sit down and talk to Kim Jong-un. I think they're starting to see the negotiating skills of the president. He talked about John Kerry again last night, saying John Kerry would never leave the table, the negotiating table, and then went to say, of course I would. If I'm not getting the deal I want, I would. So he's laying down some preconditions for Kim Jong-un, and North Korea is listening to every word he says.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm very sure of that. Do you want to play any more clips from the rally, or do you want to talk about a couple of other things?
Can we talk about some blowback that's coming out of D.C. this morning the attack on the woman who attacked John McCain, a low-level staffer. Have you seen the bubbling stories on that this morning?
Yeah, a little bit. I have.
This woman is not a high-level employee, and it's not even on tape. It's anecdotal reporting. Somebody said, well, did you hear what so-and-so said? She said, don't worry about John McCain. He's dying. It tasteless. Yeah. Despicable. Yeah. Is it not truthful? No. It's just ugly. But this blowback from the media, I think, is a little over the top. Now, Meghan McCain's going to talk about it today on The View, she said. She's going to respond. And John McCain's wife, Cindy, was taking the high road on this. She went to Twitter and said, let's not forget he has seven children and three grandchildren. So let's be a little sensitive to the guy. I don't know. Do you think this woman should be drummed out of her job in the White House?
No, I don't. And I think that we've really gotten to the point where what people say in like a private circle or in a meeting has now become like you have to watch every word you say everywhere you are unless you're with your spouse. Unless your spouse is going to call you out at a cocktail party. So you would not believe what IG said the other day. I mean, do we have to get to the point where we guard our words everywhere we go? Yes, I agree. That's really not only is it not politically correct, as you mentioned, it's insensitive. But let's say you're speaking about, you know, what's going to happen when John McCain does this? Or what if he votes against blah, blah, blah? Or can you believe he said that he doesn't want the president to come to his funeral and he said this, 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 and this? Okay, if he's talking about his funeral, is it that far off base for someone in the White House to say, well, don't worry about all of that. He's going to die soon anyway. I mean, she might just be saying it like as a matter of fact, not trying to be cold or mean or vindictive.
No matter how you say that or no matter how you mean it, once it's in print, your meaning and the context are destroyed. Unless
should it be in print if you say it with like two colleagues in a meeting or something like that? I mean, what I'm saying is you have to watch everything you say now because everything you say could end up in print or on Twitter or recorded.
Yeah, that's the problem. This White House is still leaky. And there may be some people who are still holdovers from the Obama administration who are still part of that resistance that's going to do anything to force Donald Trump either to have a petrified presidency or to get out. And that seems to be, we heard from Stormy Daniels on SNL. You know, what do you want? I want a resignation. And that is what most of the resistance, what most of the anti-Trumpers want. They don't want him in office and they're going to do anything to hamstring this president. And they're in some ways, they're getting away with it and doing a pretty good job. But I don't think this woman deserves to be booted. She will get reprimanded, but let's remember she's not even a mid-level staffer. She's in some office of engagement. It's not anybody who's in a cabinet position, anything like that. You know, that we also have the other story of the Department of Homeland Security woman who the New York Times reported was going to resign because the president dressed her down. I don't know if you saw the details on that story, but that one bothers me, too.
One that bothers me has been bothering me for quite some time. I don't like Stormy Daniels' attorney and the information that he's received about Michael Cohen emails and financial information, et cetera, is rather troubling to me. And then we find out that he owes almost $5 million in back taxes. And then you posted on Twitter yesterday the complaint to the bar. And it was so long, and I read some of the details, and what he allegedly did with this pump and dump scheme with the coffee shop that the coffee line, they weren't paying licensing rights that cost $500,000 and then taxes for employees, et cetera. I mean, this dude came across as like a smarmy guy, and it ends up that this dude might in fact be a smarmy guy.
Yeah, there's a good chance he is. The complaint against him from the bar in Washington goes into a bunch of different things. The money's owed, the bankruptcy he's involved in. And here's the weird part, Ange. I brought this up to some of my friends who are never Trumpers and they're part of the resistance. They said, well, what about Trump? And I said, no, this isn't whataboutism. This is, here's a guy who is obviously resistance-funded, resistance-led. He is pointing all of his weapons at Donald Trump, and yet he's allowed a free pass on his bad behavior. Well, what about Trump's tax records? I actually got this thrown at me last night. What about his tax records? I said, show me the law that says you have to release your tax records as a candidate. You don't. It's not required. Yeah, well, what about bankruptcies that Trump had? I said, they've gone through the court system. And he was adjudicated. So, you know, all that has been done. I think it's time to stop the whataboutism. And let's be transparent on these guys who are out there leading the charge against a sitting, legally elected president.
There are a couple of stories that are catching my eye this morning. Harvey Weinstein's wife has, quote unquote, broken her silence. I read the Vogue article, and boy, was it in depth. But it seemed like it took several interviews to finally get her to break her silence. Like, you know, we had lunch here, and then we met there, and then I met these friends. And you'd never guess who she's become friends with. Anthony Weiner's wife, and they actually met prior to the Weinstein revelations, allegations coming to light, but it seems like they would be good allies for each other. And then why, or you mentioned Hillary Clinton, it looked like she was wearing something on her back, a back brace, and now she's wearing something to possibly disguise that. So let's talk about that next as well. What is she wearing to disguise a possible back brace? Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, several things we want to talk about here. Hillary Clinton with the scarf covering up possibly the back brace. That's what she's using to cover up her back. Georgina Chapman, Harvey Weinstein's wife, breaking her silence. And the way that she did it, it was interesting because I really saw how a reporter can like wear someone down and gain their trust. And the Vogue reporter kept meeting with her over and over and over again. And then Mike wants to talk about, and I do too, for that matter, a woman who says you need to ask a baby permission to change a diaper. But Mike, may I just say that it's good news for moms that a third of millennials will only have to walk upstairs from the basement to wish mom a happy Mother's Day.
I see what you did there. They're living in the basement. You know, we have a millennial working with us, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't live at home. Since I've worked with Trevino, he lived in Memphis, and then our headquarters moved to Raleigh, and then he moved to Phoenix, and he moved for each job. Okay. More millennials live at home than ever before. About a third still live on at home and rely financially on their parents as a result as they have evolving social norms and fallout from the worst recession in generations. Really? Or is it just that these kids are wimps?
I think it's a couple of different things. The recession had a huge hand in what happened here. And some of my friends on the left are going to get angry, but I blame Obamacare for a lot of this. We normalized putting off adulthood until the age of 26.
And they call it adulting now, like it's some horrible thing. Oh, my nephew will tell me, I hate adulting. By the way, he lives with his dad and he's still on his dad's insurance. And he just got his driver's license. He's so mid-20s, he just got his driver's license. Love him, but he does not like adulting.
Well, no adult likes adulting, but get used to it, Kiko. It's life. It's what the people say. I believe it's because kids have never had to, a great majority of kids, Trevino exempted, have never had to stand up and be on their own. And the first time you realize that there's work output that relates to your income and then how much you can spend and what you can afford, then, gee, you start having a different perspective on the world and on life. But if you can live in the basement, if you can be sort of a sucker fish on your parents' insurance until you're 26 years old.
Yeah, and sucker fish.
Yeah, and be encouraged to go to graduate school and rack up student loans and then default on your student loan. There's no responsibility. And with responsibility comes maturity. And we have a deficit there.
It is just funny when I just think of calling my nephew. What are you doing? Ugh, adulting. I hate it. So anyway.
You've never said that to them. You've texted it to them, right? They texted it back at you because they don't speak on the phone.
Well, he and I do speak. He and I are very close. But we do speak. But yes, he does text me a lot. I want to talk a little bit too. Just one quick thing. I hate social injustice. I hate injustice in general. And, you know, on Hawaii's Big Island, that Kilauea volcano, scientists are warning that it may have a big blow and that, you know, 20-ton boulders will fly through the air. But here's something that concerns me as much as that. It's socially. People are looting these houses. When people have evacuated, they're going in. I think that is one of the scummiest, lowest, most just despicable things you could do. Really, I mean, you mentioned the other day a guy who we, and a gal, we each had a story about someone, the obituary bandit. So we're going in when people had gone to a funeral and robbing them. I think looting a place where someone has already potentially lost their home or their neighborhood, their cars, their R2-D2 mailboxes we spoke about yesterday, and then you're going to loot what they have left? Really? That is so, so low.
Yeah, I don't think that falls in the category of social justice or even injustice. That's just criminal behavior. And I would hope, if that were Texas, do you know what would happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you'd have a lot of pellets in your rear end.
You would have a whole bunch of buckshot in the butt. That's exactly, you're so right. But Hawaii, notoriously liberal. By the way, the governor of Hawaii has asked for the president to step in and declare it a national disaster. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to happen. And that just means they can get access to a whole bunch of emergency government funds and low interest loans for the people who've been affected by it. I'm sure that's going to happen. That there shouldn't. I hope the government doesn't play any games, political games with this. But Hawaii, you said it earlier, some of these boulders that could be coming out of the ground and flying through the air, the smallest of them, the size of your refrigerator. Now think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob, mind blowing. All right. We don't even have to touch much on Clinton's brace, but you mentioned she slipped recently and we thought that she had a back brace on. There was a sharp angle, like a squared angle on her back that looked like a brace. And now she's covering it up with a scarf.
Yeah, that was the latest picture. And the only thing that seems to raise questions about it, why she's doing it and why it matters, where she's been, it's 80 degrees. So you wouldn't exactly put a scarf on someone or a long sleeve jacket, a full wool coat over someone in 80 degree temperature. We remember what happened to her in September of 2016, September 11th at the ceremony honoring the victims of the attack. She passed out and mm-hmm. that was a hot day. And they were saying, well, you know, she wasn't drinking water. Well, if it's that hot, why are you putting this on her? They're hiding it. And it's okay. People slip and fall and have to wear a brace. Just be honest with us.
Exactly. And that's my whole point. It's like, okay, now you're wearing a scarf. Just exactly. Be honest. You're 70. I mean, when you're in your 70s, you slip and fall and something's going on. It's not a crime. Okay. So just be honest. But, you know, the covering up of everything just makes us distrust people even more. And like, have they ever told us the truth? All right. Two more stories I want to cover if we have time here. Harvey Weinstein's wife is speaking out, but another one that I think is worth touching on is the woman who said that a baby needs to be asked permission before you change its diaper. Are you out of your mind? I mean, this is so snowflakey weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The lady was on TV in Australia and she bills herself as a sexuality educator, speaker, and author. Her name is Deanne Carson. Mm-hmm. And talking to the Australians about this, I think even the woman doing the interview, I was going to say in England and in Australia, they don't call them reporters or anchors. They call them presenters. Mm-hmm. The presenter even seemed a bit miffed at this.
How young are some of the children you talk to?
We work from children from 3 years old. We work with parents from birth.
From birth?
Yeah. Just about how to set up a culture of consent in their home. So I'm going to change your nappy now. Is that okay? Of course, the baby's not going to respond. Yes, Mum, that's awesome. I'd love to have my nappy changed. But if you leave a space and wait for body language and wait to make eye contact, then you're letting that child know that their response matters.
Okay. You should see the face on the lady. It's the reporter, the presenter. It looks at this woman like, okay, first of all, you have pink hair, you know that? And now you're telling us we have to ask the baby for permission to change the nappy?
It's like one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. But I do think back. I remember, oh gosh, it's so uncomfortable. When my son was a baby, I had him in the church, daycare. And we were in service, and I was walking through the hallway, and this weird guy walked up to me, and he was wearing like a little "I work in the church daycare," you know, little funny jacket. It had like little animals on it, kind of the way scrubs that are decorated. And he just walked up to me. He said, "I just want you to know that I needed to change your son's diaper." And then I'm like looking at him like, why are you walking up to me in the hallway and telling me this is super weird? And then they put a little sticker on it. And it says, my diaper was changed. So, like, you're notified because it's a different diaper than you put on. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm glad my kid's a baby because that was a really uncomfortable, like, weird interaction. But with this whole ask your kid permission thing, it's so bizarre. Like, setting up a culture of, like, leaving space there for the child to say it's okay. Now, I can see talking to your kid as they get a little bit older, as I have with my kid, about no one's allowed to touch you, that you only take a bath, you know, with mom, that there are, you know, certain people that are allowed to pick you up at school and some aren't, and, you know, just those types of things. But asking a baby if it's okay to change their nappy and leaving space for consent, are you out of your stinking mind? Apparently. Angie Austin, Mike Opelka. People up in arms because someone very furry was taken to Dairy Queen. And being someone that loves a good ice cream cone dipped in chocolate, I understand why a very hairy being would be excited about an outing to Dairy Queen. I also think we should talk about the wild animal park and the promposal. Those things have gotten so ridiculous, Mike. So I'm going to start with the wild animal park, if that's okay with you.
Just stop for a second. Just stop.
Sure, and sure.
Look, just because I happen to be a little hairier than everybody else, and when we go to the Dairy Queen, I get excited because who doesn't want a soft serve swirl
so
dipped
good.
In the chocolate things, right?
Oh, and the chocolate when it's warm still is so yeah. good. When it hardens, not quite as good. But right when it's still warm and they hand it to you, hello.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. But that's it just calm down about me going to the Dairy Queen. You know, I already get enough heat when I go to the beach. Hey, buddy, take off your sweater. You know, come on.
Why are you wearing those leg warmers? Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I had a girl like that in my college classes. It's like, are those socks or leg warmers, or have you just not shaved your legs? Because that is frightening.
Well,
it was bad. It was really bad.
Can be warming. But I guess you were talking about the Canadian zoo officials who are going to court because they brought a one-year-old bear to the ice cream store.
The drive-thru photo is unbelievable. Like, really, do you want to give, you know, one of these poor, I mean, it's bad enough to get to work at Dairy Queen. Like, I worked in fast food. You get harassed in the drive-thru. Okay. Then you're going to have a bear like peeking out the window to get his ice cream. I mean, that is freaking those people out.
It would freak me out. Even though it's only a one-year-old bear, Berkeley, the bear, goes to, now they're calling the place what, Angie?
Dairy Queen.
I'm sorry. I love that. But Canada, what are you doing? The guy's going to go to a court and get hit with a fine on this. The zoo is actually saying, look, Berkeley's not a wild bear. He's been born and raised in captivity. And that one time they went to go to get ice cream, Dairy Queen wasn't even open to the public. Yeah, right. Wink, wink.
They could have, like, if they left him in the back seat in, like, a kiddie seat, a booster seat. And then if somebody just thought someone had a very hairy child or something in the back, like, but they let him peek out the window, like, when they went to get it. He was so excited about the ice cream. And, you know, dogs like ice cream, too. And they even have some frozen dog ice cream, like, treats now for pets. And so this doesn't, I'm okay with it. I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not like a wild bear. It's kind of a bear pet, but they just shouldn't have let him like start clamoring out the window towards the drive-through person.
If you're the guy in the drive-through window and in the picture, and we'll tweet out a link to this in our various Twitter accounts. If you're the guy at the drive-through window, are you reaching your hand out like this Bobo is seen doing? Or are you getting like one of those sticks that seniors use to get the cans off the top shelf?
Yes, I love those sticks. My mom has one.
Yeah, I'd be using that to hand the cone to the bear. I'm not reaching my hand out while giant teeth and claws are within a couple of feet.
See, I don't have to use the reaching stick because I'm 5 feet tall. My husband's 6'6", so I have a husband for that. He does all light bulbs and gets things off of high shelves and such. So but the stick is genius. And my mom, who's maybe 4'10 now, she's, I guess, been shrinking. She needs the stick. Okay, you ready for the wild animal park? I am so tired of people thinking they can roll down their window and throw out a piece of bread or roll down the window to take a better picture. You're at a wild animal park, a safari park. So a family gets out of their car at a safari park, and this they stepped out of a French registered car in the safari park in the Netherlands, okay? And it's a drive-through African wildlife park, so you're in your own vehicle. And it says, do not leave your car, but the family, maybe they just missed that. They missed the sign that says you might get eaten. They got out in the middle of the park where a coalition of cheetahs, they were sunning themselves. Unsurprisingly, the cheetahs, by the way, world's fastest land animal, got up and started running towards them. And the family narrowly got back to their car. I mean, you see them, you know, obviously distressed and turning, looking. And I would say the cheetah is about 7 to 10 feet from the driver as the driver's almost at the door. I cannot believe they weren't eaten.
Wow. Wow. And what did you call the group of cheetahs? Is that a term? I love the terms for groups of animals, like a pride of lions, a murder of crows.
The world's fastest animal. A coalition of cheetahs.
A coalition of cheetahs. Yes. That's a good term for a group of cheetahs.
Sounds like a bunch of Republicans or Democrats.
A coalition. Yeah, I wonder if they're moving across the aisle with the hyenas.
Can you believe it? I mean, they roam free. They're not tame.
They're not tame at all. This is like the story we had yesterday out of San Antonio, where the people picked up what they thought were kittens, and it turned out to be bobcats. Now they're all chomped on. But thank God nobody got eaten on this. I went to a park in Utah, and the buffalo are majestic, and they're gigantic. You don't realize how big a buffalo is until you see it in person. But there are signs everywhere that said, if you stop your car to take a picture, do not get out of your car. Because they stand there, and if they want to run at you, it's like, zoom, suddenly they're on you. They run so fast.
I'm watching the video again, okay? And I just realized something. So there's a car coming up behind this group of tourists who they're out getting video. And there's a car that is then videotaping. And of course, they're just, you know, they can't believe it that, oh my gosh, there are people out of the car. I just realized what the passenger is carrying. It's a child. The passenger is carrying a child. That's what is in their arms, that they actually had like a kid, it looks like, out there with them. One of the women is seen picking up the youngest child and shooing the cheetahs away as she strides towards the car.
We are so lucky this isn't a story about three or four dead bodies chomped on by cheetahs who would then be euthanized for doing what nature tells them to do, doing what comes naturally. I'm glad that didn't come out that way. People, be careful. When you're out driving, it's getting ready to be summertime travel time. You're going out on a vacation. The parks know what they're doing. They don't want you dead. They want you to come back.
Yes, and pay the admission fee again.
Yes, please. Speaking of coming back, can we go back to fast food one more time? I know we talked about Dairy Queen earlier. If Burger King was going to ask anybody to the prom, wouldn't you think it would have been Dairy Queen?
Yes, I would have thought that.
Yeah, me too. So this story about a Burger King inviting Wendy's to the prom with a promposal, you know, like the signs they put out in front of the Wendy's or the Burger King. It said, hey, Wendy, how about the prom? And the local Wendy's right down the road put on their sign, okay, but don't get handsy, and we have to be home by 10.
That is absolutely hilarious. Because, you know, these promposals, even for kids, have gotten very complicated.
Well, I can imagine. But the Burger King people, when they saw Wendy's, responded.
Yeah.
Went and got a flower and put it inside one of their one of those little clamshell boxes, and put on the wall on the giant sign, "Hey, at Wendy's." She said yes, and they held up like this was the corsage they were going to give, and it said, "Wendy's, looking forward to it. Let's aim for king and queen of the prom." This is brilliant. Whoever came up with this deserves a promotion at Wendy's and Burger King.
I think it's genius. I was looking at some of the promposals when you put that up too, because that's become like pressure on these generally young boys to ask the young girls to prom. And but there's one girl that has a big pizza, which pepperoni pizza will get to the heart of any teenage high school boy. And it says, "I know this is cheesy, but will you go to prom with me with big hearts?" And then when you open the box, there's pizza in there, and it says that, "I know this is cheesy." And then one kid made a giant Starbucks cup, and it said, "I'd like a latte for you to go to prom with me. I'd That's like it genius. A latte."
That's genius. That's fantastic. I bow to their creativity. I was lucky enough to be able to get someone to go to the prom with me 400 years ago.
No, were you still chubby in high school?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
But not the fat kid anymore.
I was on my way to the
Findom
beach body that's now so famous. Oh, speaking of beach bodies, one more quick story from we talk politics a lot. Out of the realm of the strange. Did you see the picture of the shark wrangler who caught the hammerhead, the 12-foot hammerhead off the coast of Florida?
I did. It reminded me of my daughter catching that little shark. Remember on spring break, and it was about 12 inches long, and she screamed because she thought it was going to eat her, and she burst into tears.
Yeah, but this guy's got a 12-foot shark.
Yeah, not 12-inch, 12-foot.
12-foot shark, and it's on the beach, and he's taking a picture with it. And virtually every guy I know is going, "Wow, look at the size of that shark." But every woman is going, "Look at the abs on that guy."
Oh, yeah, they're all staring at the guy's abs. That's hilarious. Men and women, we're different.